And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2015. It's the anniversary of the admission of Vermont to the Union in 1791. It was the 14th state to join. Vermont, which for its first 200 years voted Republican in every single presidential election except 1964, when it voted for Lyndon Johnson. But since 1992, it's voted Democratic in every presidential election. It competes with New Hampshire for being the least religious state in the Union. Only half of Vermonters say they believe in God, compared with about 70% of the rest of the country. It's the birthday of the novelist Thomas Stribling, born Clifton, Tennessee, 1881. He started out writing pulp fiction for magazines, detective stories, science fiction. Loved Venezuela. He wrote three novels set there in the 20s, and then won the Pulitzer Prize with his novel The Store, a satire of the Jim Crow South. Thomas Stribling was a contemporary of Faulkner and Hemingway, and his books sold better than theirs. Between the end of World War I and the beginning of World War II, Thomas Stribling was America's best-selling author. 1797, on this day, John Adams was inaugurated second president of the United States, succeeding George Washington, beating out his rival Thomas Jefferson. The ceremony took place on a sunny day, Philadelphia, Congress Hall. Adams, dressed in a gray suit, a short, frumpy man, Jefferson, tall and elegant, in a long blue frock coat, Washington, dressed in black velvet. Franklin D. Roosevelt inaugurated on this day, 1933, in the midst of the Depression. Most Americans didn't know how crippled he was from polio, and he tried to keep it a secret, so in order for him to ascend the steps to the podium to take the oath of office, he went up a series of ramps that were hidden behind barriers, walked the last few yards leaning on the arm of his son James, and made it look easy, even though it took great strength. His inaugural address included the famous phrase, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Here's a poem for today by Jeffrey Harrison entitled "The Day Nothing Happened," with a quote from a news item: "British computer scientists have determined that April 11, 1954, was the most boring day of the 20th century." On that day in history, history took a day off. Current events were uneventful. Breaking news never broke. Nobody of any import was born or died. If you were born that day, bask in the inverted glory of your unimportance. No milestones, no disasters. The most significant thing going on was a golf tournament, the Masters. It was a Sunday. In Washington, President Eisenhower, whose very name induces sleep, practiced his putt on the carpet of the Oval Office, a little white ball crossing and recrossing the presidential seal like one of Jupiter's moons or a hypnotist's watch. On the radio, Perry Como was putting everyone into a coma. But the very next day, in New York City, Bill Haley and his Comets recorded "Rock Around the Clock," and a few young people began to regain consciousness, while history, like Polyphemus waking from a one-day slumber, stumbled out of his cave, blinked his giant eye, and peered around for something to destroy. "The Day Nothing Happened" by Jeffrey Harrison, from Into Daylight, published by Tupelo Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.